Well, we appreciate your prayer this morning that the Lord would minister to us here in our little setting.
Yes, amen.
We've been doing a little series on walking with God, and we talked about people who have walked with God. Enoch was so close to the Lord just took him home. He didn't die a natural death as we do, in fact, in that way. And then we talked about the growth process from infants to people of full growth and responsibility. We studied about growing and learning to trust in God and how that's a real part of our growth process. Last week we talked about enduring temptation, and I feel like the Lord's been talking to us through the week about prayer. And so this subject is way greater, far greater than what we could study in one setting. So I'm just going to give what I feel like the Lord has given to us about this. It's not exhausting for sure. But this morning I was thinking about the great God of heaven. You know, we know that God created all things. He made everything as it is. He spoke and the worlds came into existence. We believe that, don't we? We believe that God has that kind of power, and the infinite things He created tells us something of that. And so, when we look at all that, have you ever wished that you could just sit down face to face with God of heaven and talk to Him about some of our questions and some of our needs and some of the things? Have you ever thought about how nice it would be to just come into His presence like that? And then we think about the great privilege we have through prayer of coming into His presence like that. Do you know that God has made a way for us? The avenue is through prayer. It's not that we come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm not like this fellow over here, and I don't have those problems, and I'm a really good person." And because that's been tried, hasn't it? We have the parable, if you will, in the scriptures, or anyway, the reading there where Jesus said there was two men that came up into the temple to pray, and one had his head in the air, and another one, he just pounded on his breast. He just, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he came to the Lord in humility and humbleness of heart, didn't he? And you know, the Lord said that man, if I remember how it was, that man went up justified, didn't he? And so when we come before the Lord, we want to realize this is not a God that we sculpted out of our hands. This is the great God of heaven that has loved us so much that He made an avenue through His Son's blood that was shed for us to come to Him. And He made an avenue. But He does tell us, "You come humbly." He said, "To this man will I look, to him that is humble." And of a contrite, maybe we'll read that here in a minute, I have that scripture later. "And of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And so, when we come to the Lord, He has agreed to hear our case. He's told us, "You keep coming to me. If you don't get what you want right away, you keep coming." He gave us very specific words, parables about that. And the unjust judge. And he said, the lady came to the poor woman, came before the unjust judge, and he wouldn't hear her. But she kept coming back because she needed something. And you know, there's a reason He gave that to us. And maybe we'll read that after a while. The reason He gave that to us was, if you read on down in that, He says, the Lord will answer speedily, though He bear long with us. And so many times, He is wanting to answer us speedily. He longs to answer us speedily, but he is bearing long with us and waiting maybe for us to humble ourselves in the way that he is, that we must when we come to the great God of heaven. And so when we see that, we see that God has purpose in everything. And so when he tells us to keep coming back, and he gives us the parable of the one that needed bread, and they came and they were refused. No, you can't have bread. And I'm in bed. I don't want to be disturbed. Well, I need bread. Well, you know, he's not going to rise and give him because he needs bread, but he keeps bugging him. And so he gets up and gives him bread. You know, the Lord told us that for a reason. Because he wants us to come to him like that. I have needs. Lord, I have needs. And though I feel like you haven't filled those needs, I need those needs. I must have help. And so, you know, when we come to the Lord like that, that's the way he wants us to come. He wants us to come believing that God wants to hear me. He wants to help me. And he will. And he sealed it with the Son's blood. And so he made a way for us to come to the God of heaven and be heard and be helped. And he's promised to do that. So prayer, we all know a little bit about what prayer is. We come before God. We usually close our eyes and many times get on our knees and we humble ourselves before the Lord and we call upon him. And, you know, it's our communication with that great God of heaven. And so when we come to him, we want to recognize God wants to hear my prayer. And he wants to help me with my need. And he wants me to walk with him just like Enoch did. And just like Paul the Apostle did. Just that way. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk with him. He wants to tell us something of his mind. And he wants to fill our hearts with his spirit. And he wants to empower us with his presence. And that presence that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when we come up to a place and he said, there will be a word behind you that says, this is the way, I believe it says, walk ye in it. You know, those things are all valuable, aren't they? And the Lord wants us to know that this morning. And so I want to just look. I feel like the Lord's given me a few examples of people that came to the Lord in prayer in great need. Great need, so much so that there was no hope for them. But the Lord heard their prayers. And so let's start in 2 Kings 19 and 14 and ask the Lord to inspire the scriptures to our hearts and make us receive the food, the strength that we need, the hope that we need, the things that God has for us. And Hezekiah, 19 and 14 of 2 Kings, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. This letter was bad news for Hezekiah. This man, this King Rabshakeh, he came up to Jerusalem, I believe it was here. He came up to the land of Israel, and he was going to take them over. And so he sent them a letter. Don't you trust, who was the gods that delivered, in the 12th verse, it says, have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezep and the children of Eden which were in the Laser? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim of Hena and Iva? Where are all of these? I destroyed them all, and I'm going to destroy you too. And the best thing you can do is just give yourself to me. Well, Who would want to come into that kind of bondage? And Hezekiah wasn't willing to do that. And he came before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed, verse 15, before the Lord. He spread this letter out before the Lord. And it says, he prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You know, the Lord tells us in the Lord's Prayer, doesn't he? They wanted to know how to pray, and the Lord told them, you know, you come before him, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know, the Lord wanted us to recognize when we come into his presence who he is. Amen. This morning. And so he said here, Hezekiah came before the Lord, and he was in great need. Lord, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You know, this Sennacherib that had come up before Israel and reproached the God of heaven, Hezekiah had a little more here than just his own problem. He had a cause here that they've reproached the name of God. David had that problem when Goliath got up and began to reproach the name of God. Folks, we have more than just our little life, don't we? It's the name of the Lord. And we don't want his name reproached. Then Isaiah, now he was the prophet there, the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. And you know, if you drop on down to verse 35, we see what the Lord did when he heard Hezekiah's prayer. And it came to pass that night, verse 35, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And you know, his own sons smote him there. You know, this morning, that's 185,000 men of their enemies. I believe in this kind of thing because I've seen this God work. I know that he does what he says he will do. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us, folks, let's open our arms and recognize we can walk with God. We can have an audience with the God of heaven. And when he hears, folks, Jesus said, if he has heard us, we know that we have the thing that we desire. That's what Jesus said. And so that's what happened here with Hezekiah. He got in touch with the Lord. He did what it says there in Isaiah 66. And he humbled himself. And he got real low. And the Lord said, unto this man will I look. As we quoted a while ago, unto this man will I look. To him that's humble, I believe it says, and of a contrite spirit. You know, Hezekiah got in that place. And folks, this morning, I just want to encourage us. We can walk with God. The Lord wants us to walk with him. He wants to fight our battles. He wants to take on the enemy for us. And he has promised to do so. Our job is to humble our hearts and get in touch with him. And he'll do the fighting for us this morning. You know, prayer is that place where we go in the presence of the Lord, where we come before him, and he begins to hear us, and he's moved at those prayers. I want to encourage us this morning to pray. To pray earnestly, to pray fervently, to pray often. Jesus himself, do you know that he wasn't, just because he was the Son of God, you know, he was in the flesh here, and he needed the Lord's help constantly, didn't he? You know, he prayed. He prayed often. And we read here in Luke, the 6th chapter and 12th verse, we find the Lord, 6 and 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued in prayer, continued all night in prayer to God. You ever prayed all night? All night? That's what Jesus did here. He went out, and it says that he went out into a mountain to pray. He got alone, didn't he? He had needs before God. He knew that he needed power from on high to be able to do the things he was to do. You know, the next day what happened? He went out, and it says, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. I wonder what was going on in his mind. He was pleading, I believe, all night in prayer with God. Folks, he was looking to the Lord. Yeah. He was in need. God in heaven, tomorrow I choose these apostles. He probably had that burden upon his heart. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me with this. And I want you to anoint this time. And so he stayed before God all night long. Now, you know, there's different kinds of prayer. There's prayers of praise and intercession for other people, prayers for our own needs and all of those things. But it is that all of that that we bring before God, that he smells, he hears, and he takes interest in what we're doing. And so he came back and he called unto him his disciples, and he chose his 12 apostles there, didn't he? That was a real special time for the Lord. I can tell you, the anointing was heavy upon him when that happened. That was a beautiful time when he began to work. You know, sometimes we need some special things to happen in our life, don't we? Have you ever needed something special to happen in your life? I have.
Yes.
I have really needed some special things to happen sometimes. So much so that I didn't want to see tomorrow if the Lord didn't help. I needed him really bad. Folks, we just come to those places, don't we? Let's learn to pray. Let's learn how to come before God, exalt him for who he is, the great God of heaven, and humble ourselves to him for the needs that we have. Listen to Daniel back here. I love this story, and I've read it many, many times. Daniel, the 9th chapter. You read, here is a man that we know a little of his life, don't we? Daniel was a person that prayed every day. We're going to read this here, but we want to recognize Daniel had a history, because there was a time when it was going to cost him his life. By all measures, he was going to be thrown into the lion's den, which meant almost certain death, right? And so they told him, you know, you pray, the king has issued this edict that if anybody asks anything of anyone other than him for the next 30 days, they're going to be cast into the lion's den. And what did Daniel do? His knees began to smite together, and, oh, I better not open my window. I better not pray. No, Daniel prayed every day. He prayed multiple times every day. Daniel's whole trust, his whole life was about God and in God's hands. Here he was in this kingdom and advisors to these kings. You know why he was there, I believe? Because Daniel had that kind of heart this morning. And so we begin here in Daniel 9 and 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, Daniel put all, he humbled himself the best way he knew how. He needed something from God. If you read in the second verse, you see a little bit about what he was needing. He realized, he understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And Daniel needed the Lord to give him something about that. Here we are at this place. And so it goes on. Well, I'll skip some here. But he set his face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Folks, the Lord wants us to get real humble before him, doesn't he? Real needy, completely dependent, as Daniel was here. And then in verse 20, listen to this. This is one of the more beautiful stories in the Bible, in my thinking. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Do you know that there was a time here where Daniel was seeking the Lord in this way? And it says that the angel came to him and he told him, Daniel, I'm going to give you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you, and he told him a lot more than he was asking for. And you know, he told him something else. He said, you're greatly beloved. Now, the scripture says something about being dear children, as dear children. You know, when you have a child, and we love our children, don't we? And when we, there's something there that is just so precious. It's so wonderful, that connection between our heart and our children. There's something there, isn't there? You know, the Lord has that between His dear children too. And when we come to Him and seek Him like that, I believe we become very precious to the Lord. And though I've never had an angel in that form to come to me, I will tell you something. Folks, the Lord will come to us like this. And I say that not boastingly, by experience. I will tell you, we seek after God like that, and the precious God of heaven will come down into our hearts, and He will minister to us in a way that makes us feel very loved. He'll let us know His great love for us. He'll let us know His thoughts about things. He'll give us more than we asked for. And here Daniel was asking for understanding about this writing that Jeremiah had done, and there would be this amount of time and when they would go back and all of these things. But the Lord came and He told him when the Messiah was going to come and gave him right to the year, right to the very time that Jesus was going to be born, and began to reveal great things. Do you know that the God of heaven longs for that kind of a relationship with you and me?
Yes, amen.
You believe that this morning?
Yes.
All of us? Do we believe that? I want to really ask us to answer that in your own mind. Do we believe that the God of heaven wants to have this kind of relationship with every one of us? I'm persuaded of it beyond doubt. Folks, you know, the Lord came to Daniel and spoke to him. And I don't remember if it was that exact time or not, but over in the 10th chapter, it talks about, I heard your prayer from the beginning. But how does it say that? He said he was withstood some way. I don't totally understand that. But somehow Daniel 10 and 12 to 13 is where that is. And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And so he came, and it sounds like 3 weeks later, he came after Daniel was fasting and praying and looking to the Lord and all of this, and laying off his sweet bread and all. I don't know what all his fasts there contained, but Daniel was seeking the Lord very earnestly. And you know, and the angel came to him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And he said, you was heard from the first day. I wonder how many times we've come to the Lord. We've spilled out a little prayer, and that was the end of it. And we never continued to follow through with that seeking of God. Because, see, during that time when we're seeking the Lord, sometimes the Lord's working with us, isn't He? He's pointing His finger at things. You can't come in my presence there. I mean, He doesn't maybe say it like that every time, but He's pointing things out. And we humble ourselves to His dealings, don't we? He wants us to come into His presence. But we're not going to come full of our own self and pride. We're not going to come full of our own ways and thoughts. We're not going to come before. We're going to come before Him in full surrender and in full humbleness of our heart and mind. And that's the only way we're going to come before God. And you know, so this morning, I hope this doesn't seem like something too far up there. Folks, when we humble ourselves before God, I want to tell you, the God of heaven hears us. And He wants to help us through our life continuously. I want to say this about prayer. We're going to read a few more places here about prayer and what it's done at different times. Prayer isn't always something that raises the roof. It's not always even enjoyable. It's not always enjoyable. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Folks, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross and all the things leading up to the cross, which was His time weeping and praying and seeking for the help that God gave Him, of course, and that He will give us too. And so as we come before the Lord, if we think that we're just going to come to the great God of heaven and present our thing, Lord, this is what I need. Now I've said it. Now You do it. That's what You said. Let's remember all the rest of His words. Let's remember that we come before Him fully prostrated before God. Lord, I need You so much. And I want You. I want all of Your life. I want all of You in my life. I want all of Your ways in my life. I want Your beauty to shine in my life. And you know, when we do that, there's something wonderful that God wants to do. And I will tell you, there is not one thing in this life half so precious as the presence of God. I want to encourage us this morning to walk with God in our life. Why should we walk in our own thoughts, in our own strength, and in our own ways, when the great God of heaven has extended Himself to us, and He said, you're going to have to humble yourself, you're going to have to seek My face, and tremble at My word, but I'll look your way. And I'll tell you, when the Lord heard his cry, Hezekiah didn't have to do much else, did he? They woke up the next morning, and the enemy was obliterated. Do you know that's what God wants to do for us? I believe in this because, folks, I've seen it work over and over and over this morning. And so let's walk with God in our life. Why should we read about Enoch? And why should we read about Paul the Apostle and all the apostles? And why should we read about all that walked with the Lord? Noah was a man that found grace in his sight. He lived in a society that was fully wicked. And believe me, they were just like people are today. That people were wicked then, with the same thoughts in their heart. In fact, it says they were only wicked continually. It was just all the time in their hearts and their minds. It was just fully wicked. Folks, we kind of live in a world like that today, don't we? It's coming more and more that way. And many people are that way. But Noah walked with God, the scripture says. Abraham walked with God in the midst of his. Here he was raised in Ur, was it? And we find him being called out of that and walking with God. And if they can do it, folks, we can do it when Jesus has paid so great a price.
Yes.
Listen to this in Acts 4 and 28. This is another beautiful story that I love because, folks, this is the way it happens. Acts 4 and 28. For to do here, Peter and different ones were threatened by the authorities. Don't you preach again, I believe it was, in that name and the name of Jesus. And so they came before the Lord too, and they brought before God what they had said. Now, we bring before the Lord what the devil says to us, don't we? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Something happened. They came in weakness, and they left in power. The place was shaken. The Holy Ghost came upon them there in a way that these men were already filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Lord re-inspired that and reinvigorated all of that. You ever had that in your life? What a beautiful thing it is when the Lord just comes down and reinvigorates all that we need. And that's fun, folks, if you want to call it that. That's a beautiful time. The weeping is over. And now the joy begins. And they went out and they preached with power and authority and had power with God in those things. And people were healed and all of the... You know what? This was a wonderful time, wasn't it? But they came to the Lord. And I want to notice something here in their prayer. They came to the Lord together. And they were, I'm quite sure, of one heart and one soul here. And they came to the Lord together and sought Him. Do you know that the Lord pronounces a very special blessing on the work of two or more that comes together in His name? When we pray in agreement of prayer between a number of people, folks, there is special power there. There is special power that can do things that are truly miraculous. And the Lord will do that. And haven't a bunch of us here seen that happen quite a number of times? Folks, this morning, the Lord wants to come to us too. This was not just for these apostles. They faced something. They may be facing their life. They had taken Jesus' life, hadn't they? But there is an agreement of prayer that the Lord sometimes even requires, that we find that moves the God of heaven.
Yes.
He also listens to our own prayer. And James tells us there is concerning Elijah. You know, that the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he was just talking about Elijah praying that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it didn't rain. And then that was just Elijah, wasn't it? They had done so much wickedness, and they ended up killing all the prophets they could find. And they searched for Elijah all over, couldn't find him because God hid him. And so this morning, you know, the Lord wants to be with us too.
Amen.
You know, a few chapters back there in Acts, the first chapter, look at this beautiful thing as well. Acts 1 and 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew. Anyway, all those, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know what had just happened? All their hopes were dashed. Everything. Jesus had just been killed on the cross. He had just been crucified. And here we find they were without hope. What were they going to do? But they remembered that Anyway, they were here in this place where Jesus told them to go before the day of Pentecost. And we find them praying in one accord and seeking God and supplicating before Him. Do you know what happened? The power of the Holy Ghost fell upon that group. And we find them so changed by this very happening. I really believe that these places change us. I remember when I was wanting the power of the Holy Spirit so bad. And I knew that I needed that. And I had been coming around the saints and been getting a revelation of things that I only knew in my head before, for the most part. And I found, this was a little before I actually came with the saints, but I will tell you, I began to seek the Lord with fasting and prayer. Going to my room alone, pleading with God, Lord, I want this thing. I want the Holy Ghost in my life. I want the Spirit of God to work in my life. I want you to have your way and to work through my life. And you know, that went on, I don't know how long. I wished I had a log. I don't know how long that went on. But I will tell you, one day, the Spirit of God, I relate to these places because the Spirit of God fell upon my life and so changed me that I've been changed from that day to this. And things that never was really alive to me before became very alive. And the Spirit of God began to move. I'm not boasting, only that the Lord had mercy on me, folks. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to empower our lives with His Holy Spirit. And it is for all of us. He wants us to walk with Him.
Yes.
He's not looking to promote you and me as some great dazzling. He's looking for a humble vessel that's seeking God with all their heart, that He can pour out His Spirit in their life, and that they won't take the glory, and they won't... Folks, the Lord wants to do that for every one of us. And I want to encourage us, God wants to walk with you. And He's given us His Word. And He wants your life to be full and complete. And He wants you to have a satisfying portion of the Spirit of God in your life.
Amen.
And He wants our life to be something that's meaningful, has purpose and joy. The Lord wants to give us things that only He can give us this morning.
Yes.
And so as we look into the Word of the Lord a little more here, let's just open our hearts to say, Lord, let me pray. Let me pray until I pray, until the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart and I can truly pray. Sometimes we come to the Lord and pray and it seems like it's just words. And sometimes you tarry before the Lord. Lord, I want to pray. I want You to hear my prayer. I want to know You heard me. And do you know that we come to the Lord like that? It's God that does these things, folks. And the Lord wants to pour out upon us His Spirit and His boldness and His words and His life and His things in our life. I want to read a little of what Clark writes about that first verse of Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Clark says, it is probable that the all here, all with one accord in one place, that the all here mentioned means the 120 spoken of in Acts 1 and 15, who were all together at the election of Matthias. With one accord, this word is very expressive. It signifies that all their minds, affections, desires, and wishes were concentrated in one object. Concentrated? and one object, every man having the same end in view and having but one desire. They had but one prayer to God, and every heart uttered it. There was no person uninterested, none unconcerned, none lukewarm. All were in earnest, and the Spirit of God came down to meet their united faith and prayer. When any assembly of God's people meet in the same spirit, they may expect every blessing they need. So the Lord help us this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us how to enter into your presence and find those places that you want to give to us this morning. We're running out of time. I'm going to quote a few scriptures, but Matthew 18 and 19 to 20. Again, I say unto you, this is Jesus, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a promise from the great God of heaven. You know, another scripture in Mark 9 and 29 says, this kind, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they were dealing with a person that was possessed by an evil spirit, and the disciples could not cast him out, as I remember. And you know, the Lord just plainly told them. And they said, why couldn't we cast him out? Now, we've been casting out devils. We've been doing all these things. Why couldn't we cast this one out? He said, this kind don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And so there are times when there is a greater sacrifice. I don't understand all of those things fully, but I know that the Lord, in his wisdom, knows that there's times that the fight is greater than other times. There's times that we have to get more in earnest than at other times. And I want to tell you, I really believe that when we do that, and we come before the Lord in prayer and fasting, you know, he works with us during that time. Maybe he purifies us a little more. Maybe there's something in our path or our heart, or maybe he just wants us to get more humbled before him, that he will receive all the glory. Because, folks, if we just said, God in heaven, I need this to happen, and it happened, I'll tell you, we'd get to thinking we were pretty big, wouldn't we? But the Lord wants us to come to the place that when he works, it's all God. He did it. He did it because he loved us. He did it because he heard my cry. I didn't have any other options. I wasn't willing to take any other options anyway. I humbled my heart, and the Lord heard our cry. And folks, the Lord wants to give us a whole life long of that. A whole life long where when you get down the road a little ways, you can point to many points. The Lord was there. Yeah, I remember when the Lord poured out his Spirit on that group. I remember when the Lord did that. I remember when Brother Randy Sorrell was having heart trouble. And, you know, he asked for prayer. We were, I think, at the school retreat and school assembly. And several got together and anointed and prayed for him. You know, the Lord healed him right there. The Lord's done that, hasn't he? You know, the Lord loves his people. And I want to encourage us, folks, this morning, that God be in the center of our life like that. Prayer takes a sacrifice. Do you remember what we mentioned about Daniel? How that Daniel, he said three times a day, the scriptures tell us three times a day he came before the Lord, didn't he? And Daniel didn't even have the option of the Holy Spirit in his heart as we do. But Daniel sacrificed time, energy. He was a very important person in that kingdom, in those various kingdoms that he was a part of. And yet Daniel took time. He sacrificed that time, that attention that it takes. Daniel knew what it meant to set aside his food when he needed to, and fast before God. I will tell you this morning, the Lord's the same. And we're just people like Daniel too. But will we sacrifice our time to seek God until we find Him?
Yes.
Maybe our food sometimes. Maybe our... Some of us, I know that maybe you can't sacrifice food just like the others. But I'll tell you what Daniel did in one of his fasts. It says that he wasn't eating any sweet bread. And I don't know what else he... I think it says something else there in that passage. But you know what? The Lord wants us to come to Him in humility of heart and life. And He wants to walk with us. Just like He did all the people He's ever walked with before. And that's our little message this morning. That we learn to pray. The disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Well, the Lord wants to teach us to pray. Sometimes I'm sure Daniel came to the Lord. He had a lot on his mind. He was pressed. And maybe it seemed a little mundane. But he prayed to God, didn't he? Folks, we pray when we have feelings that are high. We pray when we don't. We pray when we're crying like Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we rejoice as when the Lord poured out His Spirit on these apostles here. When they were being threatened. You know, the Lord wants us to come to Him in all the areas of our life. Come to Him and seek Him. And what I believe we will find is the same thing they found. I want to encourage us a little more here about the way we pray. I don't know if we'll get back to this subject or not. But 1 Timothy 2 and 1 to 4. Listen to this. I exhort, therefore, Paul's writing, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's just told us you pray for everybody. You pray for, he said, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray that way. Seek the Lord in prayer. Folks, that's a great alternative to our own ways. We move the great God of heaven, and folks, He can move. He's got options we don't even know about this morning. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. You pray for the president. We want the Lord to get a hold of his heart, make him sweet with his lips. We want that, don't we? We want the Lord to get a hold of our senators and our congressmen and put some fear of God upon them. You know, whether we agree with them or not. Some we may agree more with than others. Folks, we want to pray for them. Ask the Lord. The Lord would that all those men were saved. All those women were saved. And prayer changes things this morning. And if we can recognize the power that we have through that prayer, I want to tell you, I believe we'll pray a little more. We could just see, you know what? God's storing those prayers up. They're coming up like sweet incense before Him. Those prayers are being bottled up before God. And He smells that, and it's a sweet smell in His nostrils. Because somebody is humbling their heart before God. And He's looking our way, folks. The Lord wants our life with the Lord to be real. He wants it to have life and meaning and power in our life. He wants us to be able to walk with God. Not be ashamed to come into His presence, but humble ourselves. And if we need to humble ourselves and tell Him, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I want... Folks, the Lord is with open arms wanting us to walk with Him. And I just... put that out to all of us this morning. God in heaven, would you smell in our solemn assemblies, and would you pour out your joys upon us, and would you give us of your Spirit? Would you make us to have sweet and kind words and thoughts, and make us, Lord, to be your people, and make it so that, Lord, people want to live this way because they see the joys of God that it brings. Folks, there isn't any life that comes like this. But the life of a Christian, There isn't any life that comes with a clear conscience and a clear heart. Clear. I don't owe any man anything. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I can come to the Lord and pray. The Lord help us this morning to walk with Him. You pray for me too.